part of our worship service this morning. You can turn open to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be skipping ahead just a little bit in order to kind of coincide with today's celebration of child dedication. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And as we get into this message, one of the things that I'm really struck by is how many times we think we are incapable of doing something. And sometimes we are. For instance, one of the shows I really enjoy watching is Mythbusters. I don't know if there are any Mythbusters fans here, but one of the things I noticed is how every single one of those episodes begins. So this morning, there are a lot of things you may feel like you can't do at home, and probably some of the things Mythbusters does should be on that list. But when it comes to taking care of kids, when it comes to seeing a home that exists for the glory of God, you can do that. I think sometimes we feel intimidated. I know the first time we took a child home from the hospital, I remember thinking, does anyone know that we're taking this kid home? Is someone going to check on us or something? I mean, that was just really scary. They just put that kid in the back of the car like we knew what we were doing, and we drove off with him. And so we sometimes wonder, can I really do this? And God's word always encourages us, if he's called you to it, you can do it. And especially when we talk about things that need to be done at home. Can you raise and protect a child? Yes, you can. And today we're going to talk about some things that I want to say, do try this at home. Do try this at home. Our big point today is simple. Our homes, for those of you who didn't know, are a work in progress. They only fail to progress when we fail to work. Listen, some of you have come in here and you've got struggles and challenges in your home, and guess what? You're the only one. Okay, just seeing if you're paying as much attention to me as you did to little Samuel during child dedication. Y'all were locked in then, okay? All right. We all have struggles at home. We all have difficulties at home in our marriages, in our finances, with our kids. Just because they may be packaged differently doesn't mean they're all that different. And so we need to come this morning recognizing no matter where we are in life, there is something God wants to speak to us today. This message is important on two levels. Number one, all of us were a kid at some point in time. Maybe harder for some of us to remember than others, but we were all a child at one point in time. And secondly, whether you have kids this morning, whether you want kids this morning, or whether you have some level of interaction with kids, maybe through Awana or some other level, there are lessons here that you should take in order to have a better interaction, whether they're your kids or somebody else's. So let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 is where we're going to start, because the first thing we want to see is the call to children. The call to children. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And all the parents said, amen. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. So verse 1, it comes right out and says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So God's call for children to obey is very clear. That word obey is where we oftentimes have that discussion about hearing or listening. Anyone can hear, but listening is something altogether different. So if I say something to one of my children, and whatever I have requested of them to do, if it remains undone, then I know they might have heard me, but they weren't really listening. I want to make sure that they really understand not only what I've told them to do, but why I've told them to do it. But also you see in this, when it says children obey your parents, it means something else. It means that parents have clearly said what needs to be obeyed. Sometimes we can get on our kids for not doing what we haven't told them they should do. Well, why didn't they make their bed? Well, did you tell them they should make their bed? Did you tell them they should put gas in the car when they take it somewhere? Or did you just presume that they should know what they should do? See, sometimes we don't communicate to kids, whether they're our own or in a ministry area, children's worship this morning. We may not communicate to kids clearly what we think is common sense, but to them, they don't understand what the expectation is. We need to make sure that we've given clear expectations. Don't presume your child knows what they should do. And in fact, we see all through Scripture, we've already seen Deuteronomy 6, 7 this morning, that you shall what? You shall what? Teach them diligently. You have to take the responsibility upon yourself to not presume a child knows everything they should do. Of course you know what they should do. You're an adult. You pay taxes. You get it. So we're told we should teach them diligently, and Proverbs 22, 6 says to train up a child in the way they should go. Not just hope they do it right, not just put them in a Christian environment and hope it works out well, but we need to train them up. That's what we're talking about with Robin Morgan this morning. It's not just about bringing your kids to church. It's about training them up, because we have such a small opportunity to impact a child as opposed to how they can be impacted in their own home. So as Christians, we're reading this, and there's something about it, because he says that how are children to obey? To obey your parents in the Lord. It's a duty of faith. It means that you don't do it because your mom and dad deserve it. Listen, don't do anything for anybody because they deserve it, because nobody deserves anything except hell, the Bible says. So you don't honor your parents because they deserve it. You honor your parents because that is your duty in the Lord. In 2007, Ken Hammond was an off-duty police officer. He's having dinner with his wife at a restaurant that's attached to a mall when he hears gunshots. So he tells his wife and the patrons in the restaurant, get under the tables, hide, and he goes out and finds the shooter and confronts the shooter and stops him. Now, he could have said, I'm off duty. I don't have my uniform on. I'm not a police officer at this moment. No, because someone who takes on that responsibility has taken on a responsibility of public service in every moment. So, for a child, they have taken on the responsibility of honoring their father and mother in every moment. Not just when mom and dad are in front of them, but when mom and dad are off, but the rules are still around. Kind of like, how many times did I have to tell my kids when they were younger that if I say don't jump on the couch on a Monday, that still applies on Tuesday, okay? And it applies whether mom and dad saw you. Because isn't there something about couches? They are just springier than all of the pieces of furniture. You can really get some lift off of a couch. I'm not advocating you do that, kids. I'm just saying, okay? So it's a temptation. We all struggle. But children have an obligation to honor the Lord. Now, I have oftentimes been asked this question, because this may apply no matter what age you are. When I was in youth ministry, I had kids ask me this question a lot. What if your parents aren't Christians? What if they're not godly people? Do I have to honor them then? Oh, no, you just do whatever you feel like. No. See, there's an obligation to honor our parents, again, not for who they are as maybe character, but for who they are as God has placed them in our lives. So I would tell them, listen, you may struggle to honor them, but recognize you're not necessarily just honoring them. You're honoring the Lord in the way you honor your parents. So my example to them is, listen, you just choose to display Christ every chance you get. And you know what? If your parents are lost, maybe they'll look at the things that you do and the way that you respond to them, and maybe they'll be intrigued to say, maybe Jesus is making a difference in my child's life. You know, I started going to church before anyone else in my family was going. So I would like to think that perhaps the things I was doing was making some kind of impact. And I've seen in my years of youth ministry, kids who would come to church first, and then their parents would say, well, Bobby's not the same kid as he used to be, so we wanted to come down and see what in the world you're doing so we can try it too. And then they would recognize it was something deeper. Their kid hadn't just changed their behavior, they had changed their beliefs. They had changed their starting point. So if you're in a bad situation, no matter what age you are, and you say, well, my parents aren't worth honoring, remember, it's not about whether they're worth it. It's about whether you're going to display Christ in all your thoughts, words, and actions, even when that is not easy. And why is honoring parents important? Listen, if a child can't learn to honor people who love them and who are willing to show them a lot of grace when they're not who they should be, if parents can't figure out how to honor them, they will never be able to honor an employer or a spouse or someone else who's been put in authority over them. Remember that home is a training ground. It's a starting point. It's a place that your kids should be able to mess up and you correct them so that when they're outside of the walls, they understand what they're supposed to do. Now, that matters whether you're a parent, grandparent, aunt and uncle, or doing stuff here. We have training grounds. Even this church, in a way, is a training ground. It's a place for us to have a reset. So again, why is honoring parents important? Because it honors God when we honor the people he's placed in authority over us. I appreciate people that have come up to me before and said, Pastor Heath, I don't agree with this thing that you're doing, and I'd like to understand it better because you're my pastor. Now, I appreciate that. I don't say you have to agree with everything I say or do. If you can just show some respect when you come and talk with me, I think we can usually iron those things out. And so we have to learn how to show respect towards those that God has put in authority over us. And parents, make it as easy as possible for your kids to honor you. You know how to do it? We just go up to them and say, you better honor me, buddy. That'll work. I would recommend you do not try that. Instead, what you should do is live your life in such a way that your kids want to honor you. Let your kids see how you talk to their mom or dad. And you do that in a Christ-like way, your kids will want to honor you. You go to your kids and tell them, you know what, buddy? I'm sorry. You did that thing wrong, and I kind of blew my top at you, and I want to come and apologize to you. Will you forgive me? Your kids will learn to honor that. It's not about demanding that your kids treat you in a certain way. It's about you living out that Christ-like nature in your daily life, and your kids will have a desire to honor you. And verse 3 is important because it says, as kids honor their parents, their lives gain an extra protection. That as you hear your mom and dad say, don't drive the car 100 miles an hour, guess what? If you listen to them, you'll probably live longer. A lot of young people have lost protection in their lives because they failed to listen to instructions to their mom and dad that they thought were unfair or unkind, and now they realize are right on. I was talking to a young person who said, yeah, when I was growing up, I used to say, well, I'm not going to do all those things my parents did to me, and now, like, I'm totally going to do all that stuff to my kids. Now, I don't know if they're doing that because they want to get back at their kids somehow, but they recognized that the rules of their parents weren't there to hurt them. They were there to protect them. So that's the calling we see as kids, but then we also see, sorry parents, the call to us as parents. Verse 4, it goes on to say in verse 4, fathers, let's stop there for a second. Fathers, listen, as a dad, let me say to all the dads in this room, whether your kids are at home or your kids are out of the house, we need to step it up. God has called us as men to be the spiritual head, the spiritual lead of our families. Now, in my household, it is very easy for me to simply lay the disciplining of my children at my wife's feet because as a primarily home educating family, she has the majority of the time with kids. So it'd be easy for me to come home and say, well, Nikki, these kids are just running wild. You really need to get this squared away, because I got to come home and watch TV, and I just don't have time to do it. So I have to look and say, what is my responsibility as a dad? Don't forget that parents are supposed to be teammates. It's not about, well, the wife is supposed to do these things, and the husband's supposed to do these things, and we'll just keep those things all separate. You see, we're supposed to be a support to one another, and as we work together as a team, that really helps. But dads, we have to start. We're the ones who are going to set and uphold standards, not just by saying this is what you should do, but by doing those very same things ourselves. So you know what? If you're a single mom in here today, or you don't, or dad's not in the picture, you know, I get that. I've lived that life. My mom was a single mom at times. You know what? She was still able to parent me. If there's a dad in the house, though, let's not have the household be like dad's not there. Let's make sure we're being involved. But whether you are at home and you have mom and dad there, or it's just one of you, what we're getting ready to look at in verse 4 still applies, okay? So let's continue. Verse 4, it says, do not provoke your children to anger. Now this is really, I think, kind of the crux of the passage. Because obviously we've seen what kids are supposed to do, and before I even read to you verse 1, everyone here knows that kids are supposed to obey their parents. But when we talk about correcting children, now this is whether you are doing it as mom or dad with a young child, or whether you're doing it in Awana. I don't care. This principle still applies. I have been heartbroken in churches to see people who are volunteers in children's ministries speak angrily to children. That'll make a kid want to come back. I remember being in a church one time, and I've probably told this story, and I'm sorry if I have, but you know, we had a lot of young people in our church in Arkansas who were accepting Christ. I remember this kid was walking through the foyer, and he had a hat on. And one of the deacons went up to and just berated this kid for wearing a hat in church. You take that hat off. You need to respect the Lord. Get that hat off your head. Well, that kid didn't want to come back to church anymore. He hadn't grown up in church. He was a brand new Christian. And so I, as a young person, had to go and take this older believer and bring them aside and say, listen, don't you ever talk to one of those kids like that again. He's only known Jesus for a few weeks, and you've told him it's more important what he's got on his head than what's going on in his heart. We need to make sure that never happens again. Now, I will say this. I probably went too angry to that person, but that deacon went and asked for that kid's forgiveness. So you know what? That's another example to us. You mess up, fix it. Fix it. But here it says, do not provoke to anger. Now, this does not say don't ever let your kids get mad, because if you discipline or raise kids, they're going to get mad at you. Okay? Oh, my kid got mad at me. I guess I should just never discipline them ever again. No! Discipline them. Come on. Make it happen. This is one of your great privileges as a parent. Discipline that kid. Okay? But we want to make sure that we're not provoking them to anger. How do we provoke kids to anger? We provoke them by being unprepared for a particular situation. If we're not prepared, we will probably be likely to provoke a child. Now, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I like to listen as I'm driving on the road or have projects. This podcast, The Art of Manliness, I don't know if it's made an impact on me or not, but this is a podcast I've been listening to. And one of the episodes caught my attention, because I can't listen to all of them, but episode 209 was entitled, What Navy SEALs Teach Their Sons. I was like, all right, I'm listening to that one, okay, maybe some sort of tactics or something like that. But Eric Davis, who is a retired Navy SEAL, he goes around and he actually teaches parenting classes. Now, as far as I could tell, I wasn't hearing anything about Christ. I'm not sure that he's a Christian, but there was something that he said that really resonated with me when he started talking about IADs. IADs are immediate action drills. In the military, we have these for everything. Now, for a Navy SEAL, if their scuba tank malfunctions while they're underwater, they have an IAD, an immediate action drill. This is what I'm going to do to fix this tank, because you don't want to freak out when you're 500 feet below water. So you have these things you do. Or if you're on a patrol and you suddenly make contact with the enemy that you weren't prepared for, what are you going to do to immediately respond to that? Now, the one that I remember from my days in basic training, now, this is pretty remarkable because it's been almost 20 years. I love thinking about how long things have been. It's been almost 20 years since I went to basic training. But one of the immediate action drills I still remember is sports. Are there any military guys right now who know what sports is? That's what I'm talking about. See, it's still in your mind. So, M16 is a highly accurate weapon, but it loves to misfire. And so, if you have a weapon that's misfiring, you don't want to be like looking down the barrel, what's wrong with this thing? I mean, you need to know what you're supposed to do, okay? So, they taught us sports. Bang, 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 misfire, sports. Safety on. P, pull back the charging handle. O, observe the chamber. R, release the charging handle. T, tap the forward assist. S, turn the safety off. Bang, bang, bang. Because you want to make sure that if you're trying to use a weapon to keep yourself alive, you're not worried about how to get the thing back functioning. So it's something, as soon as it happens, you know what to do. Because sometimes weapons malfunction, and guess what? Sometimes so do kids. Sometimes kids just malfunction. You're saying, what's wrong with this thing? I don't know what's wrong with this model or where the manual is. Well, here's where Eric Davis said. He said, for example, if your kids roll their eyes at you, what are you going to immediately do? You need to have a plan in place. Because here's what, okay, some people have their immediate action drills going on, and from what I'm seeing, they don't look great, okay? So he said, for example, if a kid rolls their eyes at you, what are you going to do? Well, here's what a lot of parents do. Here's what I have done before, too. You better not roll your eyes at me. Well, that's really going to fix it, isn't it? Oh, okay, Dad, I didn't know that you didn't want me to roll my eyes at you. Thank you for telling me. No. In fact, a lot of times when I'm talking to parents, I tell them, don't ever, ever get in an argument with your kid. Because here's where you are as the authority, up here. And here's your kid down here as zero authority. When you argue, you bring yourself down to their level. And you lose your opportunity to express authority. And now all you're doing is best argument versus best argument. And sometimes a seven-year-old will beat you in an opinion. Sometimes you'll be like, yeah, I don't know why you need to learn that. So you want to make sure that you never bring it down to opinion versus opinion. You need to already have something in mind. This is what I'm going to do. Or he says this, if you're low on patience and your child comes in and has done something that has just frustrated you and you know that you're about to blow up, what is your IAD? I know a lot of parents who that when their child does something that breaks the rules, they will immediately send that child to their room. They send that child to the room for two reasons. Number one, it builds up fear in the child because they wonder, what mom and dad are going to do? Number two, it gives the parent an opportunity to calm down and to rationally decide how they're going to react. Because how many of us in here have reacted to something a child has done only to later realize we overreacted? A lot of us. And while, yes, you can come and ask your child for forgiveness, isn't it better to just start off on the right foot the first time? And so you need to stop and say, what am I going to do? It's just like we've talked about with evangelism. If you're not prepared to share your faith, you won't share your faith. Well, if you're not prepared to parent a child well or to interact with them well in children's worship or Awana, you probably won't. You need to be ready, need to have your heart ready. We have to prepare our hearts ahead of time so that we do not provoke these children to anger. In my house growing up, I knew, you could ask any of my siblings, you could bring them all in here right now and ask them, what's the punishment for lying in the Tibbetts house? Spanking. Lying was a spankable offense in our house, and my dad kept his fraternity paddle. So that meant even if you were a teenager, you still didn't want to see that come. So there would be times that me or one of my siblings might lie to our parents and just kind of chance it and hope they didn't find out. I remember, I'll tell this story, I don't care. My brother was 18 years old and got a spanking one time. And he came out and he goes, man, I forgot what that feels like. I mean, it still impacted him. He knew what the punishment was going to be. When Dad said, I'm going to spank you, 18-year-old son, he didn't argue. Because we knew that's what was going to happen. Lying is a spankable offense. Now, there are times I went to Mom and Dad and told them the truth about a situation. And they always said, if you come and tell me the truth, it does not mean you will not be punished. But I will show more grace to you because you were honest. And there were a few times my parents could have really gone off, and I'm like, that's it? I might tell the truth all the time. I realized that they were setting a standard. They're saying, if you do this, here's what we'll do. So when you as a parent or as a grandparent or as a youth worker are prepared to respond in an appropriate manner with a child, there is less opportunity for you to provoke that child to anger. So really, what are we being called to prepare ourselves for moments? Because all of us have had bad moments. And we just say, oh, if only I'd known that was going to happen. See, that's how we pray. We pray before the moment occurs. And obviously, we can't be prepared for everything, but as a pastor, many Mondays I come into the office and I pray, God, prepare me for the phone calls and the emails and the questions that I cannot anticipate coming into my office this week. And as I do that, I'm able to handle them better. And remember, as you consistently parent or train up a child, you are teaching them to consistently parent. You're teaching them. Why do I tell my kids to take out the trash? Well, one is I hate taking out the trash. Two is when I go visit my 25-year-old child one day, I don't want the house to be full of trash because they thought it only magically disappeared when it was me taking it out. I want them to understand those are things they have to learn how to do. So when you do those things, whether it's parent your child or respond with appropriateness, you're teaching them one day to do the same thing as parents. Never forget, home is a training ground. So when our kids fail to obey and honor us, we must be sure that we are not degrading and demolishing them. Every opportunity is an opportunity to build them up, to correct course. Look at the end of verse 4 as we wrap up. It says, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There are two great ways to do this. Number one, teach your kids how to read the Bible. Read the Bible to them. Read the Bible for them. I didn't just give Samuel Robert his first little Bible this morning just so he can have something to carry around. You know, I want one day for him to start flipping through that storybook. I want him to start seeing that. You know, we started our kids very, very small, very simple stories about the Bible, and then now they read the Bible on their own. But that was a process. You have to grow them up to that spot. So number one, you want to teach your children about the discipline and correction of the Lord. You can't do it apart from the Bible. You have to bring the Bible to bear. Teach them how to pray. But I think a second way to do it is to admit your own failures to your kids. Now, as my kids are entering, and you know, a couple of them are well-established now into their teenage years, there are things that I tell them about my own teenage failures. Hey, here's how I messed up doing this. Hey, I know what it's like to not want to do your homework. I know what it's like to not want to use study hall to study. I know what it's like to do those things. And as I admit my failures to my kids, I find them listening. Now, they may pretend like they're not listening sometimes, but I can tell when they're listening. So we look for these opportunities to just admit who we are before our kids. Never feel that you have to present a false front before a child. Because, man, children are perceptive. They can figure stuff out. We need to make sure that we're willing to be honest. So as we go through this, your kids might get angry. Make sure it's their fault and not yours. Child gets angry around you, make sure it's their fault. What did my dad love to say before he gave me a spanking? Whose fault is it you're getting a spanking, Heath? Now, inside, I was always saying, well, it's yours, because you're going to use the paddle on me. But I had to say, it's mine. And now I know it was mine. It's my fault I was getting a spanking, because I knew exactly what the standard was, what would happen if I broke that rule. So my encouragement is so simple today. Our homes are a work in progress. You may come in and feel like with your kids or grandkids, or maybe when you work with someone else's kids, you may really feel like you mess up. Well, join the club. This is not the sermon from the perfect parent up here. I had to get beat up by Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4 a little bit myself this week. So this isn't me telling you that I've mastered it. This is us looking together and saying, here's what God's word says. Our homes are a work in progress. They only fail to progress when we fail to put in the work. And notice again, God has called us to the difficult actions, hasn't he? Because to disobey is the easy thing. Because that means I get to do what I want. But to obey is the difficult thing. And isn't it the difficult things in life that tend to build us into the people we want to be? Aren't those the things that tend to challenge us and change us? You know, as parents, it's easy for us, or easy for us as grandparents, to just get mad at the kid. How's that working out? What if we started preparing ourselves for situations? Maybe we need to write down and say, okay, here are three situations that I know I don't deal well with my kids. What am I going to do next time they do this? Maybe it is rolling eyes. Maybe that's one for you. Maybe we need to really stop and figure that out. There are standards that are important because how we interact as families at home will play out in our interactions in the community and in church. You want to know why that family is crazy in public? Because it's crazy in private. You can only mask dysfunction for so long. So this morning, kids, now I don't care what age you are, this morning, kids, do you need to apologize to your parents? Need to apologize to your grandparents or your guardians. If you do, just do it. And don't just apologize. Repent. Say, you know what? This is what I did, and I know it's wrong, and here's what I'm going to do so I don't make that dumb mistake again and damage our relationship more. So kids, I encourage you, if there's something in your mind that you say, I know I'm driving mom and dad crazy doing this, maybe it's time to ask for mom and dad's forgiveness. Parents, grandparents, guardians, do you need to ask forgiveness from your kids? Do you need to go and say, you know what, I have been a person of anger, and I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me, and here's what I'm going to do. Next time we get into this situation, here's how I want to handle this better. I tell you what, you want your kids to honor and respect you? Be honest when it doesn't go so well. It's okay to do that. It's just like on a football field. You know, if the defense keeps the team from scoring, but the offense can't score, they don't just say, well, you know, we did our part. No, it's a team. Parents and kids need to be a team. The beautiful thing about the Bible is so many times we see the family is used as an example between us and God. And don't think for a second that when it's talking about children, obey your parents, there's not a reminder to us that we need to be in obedience to the Father. God is calling us not just to do the things here we've talked about this morning, but every commandment in God's word is for us to obey because it's for our benefit, it's for our good. And this morning, if you feel a detachment from God, you wouldn't say, I'm a child of God. You feel detached from him. You'd be afraid if you had to talk to God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died not just to fix your home, but to save your soul, to change your life. And if you've never accepted the forgiveness of Jesus, we invite you to do it today.